Yo, it's been a minute. I know. I have been head down in the books, just arms on a canvas, busy. I am just busy with me, not even with saying I'm busy and booked and busy. No, I'm not working and under any capacity right now. I'm not doing any extra work. Just been focused. Well, I am, but not like that. Not like I used to, just on me. I've been kind of MIA and then taking a step back from socials because I really don't care to be on here as much. However, this particular topic had to, it just brought me here and I just couldn't. Topic on Monique, Salon, Sydney, and Salon's father. Man, similar to the Kirk Franklin topic, I'm back. I'm back. And I have my whole little new setup situation. I'm in love right now because of. So I have like my screens and I have, I got my stuff. So this is going to be in the podcast form as well. And I'm also going to drop this probably on my YouTube channel. Let's talk about it. Let's just get into it. So if we've kind of been paying attention to the Monique situation. So Monique has been over years have been speaking about pay disparity and the issues with her career as it relates to Tyler Perry and Oprah. Lee Daniels and her have made up since. Her husband have they've been in this thing, and it was great to see, and it's great to witness. Monique went on Shannon Sharp and has been talking about that, and then there was a conversation that came up about her family, and I mean in the past there's also she's also mentioned the issues that she has with her son and all of that. So it's not a secret. That's to be clear. This isn't the first time she said it on the Shay Shay Show. It was some time ago on a radio interview. But she did kind of speak on her parenting, and her son responded on a TikTok, and he wanted to kind of clear the air because the impression was set that there is some hopes of a relationship. So the story goes, she wasn't ready for a child at the time, and that of course affected their relationship. She had him young and she wanted to pursue her career and she just wasn't ready for a son, ready for a child at all. And then since had three more children. As one would imagine, learning that you were the son that she didn't really want, that's a big deal. And of course, I have some relation to the family dynamic situation, and I wanted to just chime in on some of it. There's a lot of mixed dialogue. A lot of people, for some reason, I don't know how this even happens, but some people who just are getting their rocks off are just like, "See, there's something about Monique I just didn't like." And I'm like, "What does that have to do?" Sometimes a person will just throw out a whole person for some, however, whatever. At any given rate, that's just a sidebar. But I have to just start off with this by saying to family planners. You have all of my respect, and you will always have my respect. There is, I'm speaking of all parents, but right now, particularly biological parents, because this is in the context of the Monique situation. For those of you who lay down together, yeah, yes. For those of you who lay down together, with the intention of creating a family, there is a not just for the physical enjoyment of this thing, but for those of you who lay down with the intention of creating a family, whether that's a one extra child, two, three, for those of you who understand the physical, the emotional, the spiritual implications, the intentionality in creating a child, there's nothing that I can say that can form the words of how much my heart dances for you. Like, for those of you who literally said, "We're going to have a family, and we're going to create this child or these children together, and we're going to raise them like this, and we're prepping, we're family planning." For those of you who have done that, I can't, there's nothing else I can say. There is a respect for you that I can't even form into words. I honor your families and I honor your unions more than anything. I'm not dismissing foster parents. I'm a foster parent. I'm not dismissing treatment parenting. I'm not dismissing adoptive aunts and adoptive uncles. No. I'm really speaking right now just to the biological parents, because It's you. It is through your union that you bring children into the world. And I'm not idealizing this thing. I'm not just doing all that. I'm not just speaking poetry. No. there's a lower likelihood of causing irreparable damage to children when you're not family planning and when you're not prepared, when you're just laying in bed for the hell of it and you're just chasing a feeling and you're not really thinking about what you're creating. There is a lot of unhealthy consequences. There's a lot of harmful consequences that come from that. For those out there that know and understand these implications and understand that and have taken the guidance of those before you and have waited and thought this out, and you got my respect. When you have not been guided on how to have or how to cultivate a family, multiple people suffer. And while that suffering probably started with the parent, it will show up in the child. But if that child decides to seek the healing and get that done, and to the best of their ability, they can avoid reviving the similar suffering that they experience, and they can create a new life for their family. I also think it's important that we understand, you know, we give a little grace to the generations before us because of the way that it was set up against them. You know what I mean? I'm not one who's just ever going to browbeat the older generation. I don't do that. Although the older generation tends to, that's their favorite thing to do. It's like they wake up with an agenda to browbeat, whether that's, I can't. And I do have an immense respect for the older generation in the sense that they have a work hard ethic, and I respect that. It takes a bit to understand the context of which they grew up in, because it's important to know. It seems as though Generation X, if I'm not mistaken, and like the boomers, a lot of them were not taught the value of emotional support outside of just providing food, clothing, and shelter, and in some cases, material things. Many children past a certain generation have received all the material things they wanted, but were neglected in some way. And it didn't come to their attention until they began to develop relationships with friends and intimate partners and other people and maybe coworkers and things outside of their home, and really began to see how these things were mirrored to them and where the wounding began to show itself and all of that. But a lot of us didn't have the best upbringings, regardless of how well we received material things. A lot of us grew up in violent homes. A lot of us grew up in homes of substance abuse, some neglect in some way, shape, or form. However, as we get older and when we start to communicate these things to the parents, it can go one or two ways. One of the ways is it can be accepted, and you know, you're communicating your feelings and all the different things that you just need to get out, and parents can accept it and just work through it together and, you know, work through this collaborative effort to seek healing therapy, family therapy, however, whatever. Or it gets nowhere. And then there's this eventual parting of ways that happens. And the parting of ways doesn't necessarily mean that healing doesn't take place. There is just a parting of ways, and it could come back. They could come back together. You know, parents and child can come back together, whatever it is. But there is, at some point, there is always the end of contact at some point. The way that previous generations express love and the nurturing and all of those things that a lot of children need, which is typically at the needs of the mother, it's expressed differently. It doesn't make it any better. It's still poor. Don't get me wrong. But they may express it through financial efforts that they deem sacrifices. You know, at times they will assist with payments, down payments on cars, or they will assist with getting your house, or the things that millennials and onwards say that the things that you're supposed to do as a parent, those things. Now, Generation X and previous, they don't necessarily agree. They didn't have to get you. They don't have to do anything, you know, just as much as they didn't have to have sex and bring you here. You're lucky to be here. You're lucky to be in my house because you are disposable. I don't know, this generation, that generation of like, it's like 19. I can't. It's crazy. It's really crazy to me. But this goes to me. It conveys to me that there are parents who really don't understand the importance of creating and creation to say that I can just make another one. That's not necessarily a flex. That's because what did you make the first time? Like, hello, what was in you to create that the first time? And Why would you want to make another one? Whatever. A lot of parents do those things. They meet the financial needs and all that. But everywhere else, emotionally, it's tumbleweeds. I didn't make the rules. That's just how it is. A lot of parents just are emotionally dry, cold. It's just tumbleweeds. And there are some parents who didn't sell their labor, maybe who stayed home and still were just emotionally just not there. And that's just how they grew up. That was the context. That was the time in which they grew up. It was just about get it done, work, work, work. Some people were just in terrible relationships. And it really wasn't about nurturing their child and giving them the best or having them feel the best way about themselves. It was just a different time. So a lot of that generation has raised millennials. Millennials like myself were just like, no, because now that I recognize my relationships in business or friendships or just in the corporate environment or just in regular spaces, why do I have so many fears and where are these fears rooted in and from what? And then I can identify, this is where it started here. It started with you. And I'm identifying these things and revealing them to you. And you're like, go pray about it. I'll come back. Come to me later. You know, you good? And I'm like, no, I'm not. But it's neglect. Ultimately, it's neglect. And it shows up in different ways. So maybe they were one of multiple children. Back then, a lot of that generation had like multiple siblings. Their parents were just popping them out like, you know, like crazy. They were having multiple children and there were favorites in the family. There were some who were just neglected, abandoned. There was some physical abuse, some substance abuse. There were all types of things that happened during those times. Family secrets, like all that kind of stuff that happened around that time that just caused a lot of wounding. And for many of these parents, they vow to create children that they will never have that same dynamic again. They will never recreate that environment for their families. And somehow they do in some other way, but it's slightly connected to the neglect they experience. Bottom line is they pass the same neglect they dealt with into their children and don't realize it because they're buying their children these things or they're taking them to this place that they didn't experience growing up and they didn't get these things growing up. So I'm going to give them to you. But the things that you need from me as the parent, for me, whether that's showing up to your baseball games, whether that's going to the movies together, just you and the parent, you and the child or the parents and the child or whatever that thing is, they are neglected in that area. But they have the Lego set. They have the Kinects. They have the box cars. They have the Matchbox toys. They have all the different things. Accept that investment into their emotional, their spiritual, that part of them that they need from you. This is usually because that parent is guided by their wounding and that wound has never closed. And they end up trying to fix themselves through their children, completely, completely missing the mark and forgetting that this child is also a growing person. It is their own separate person that's growing up. And has a completely separate path of their life that is not of their parents. and some parents quite literally repeat this abuse verbatim through their children or to their children. Now, with the Monique situation, that is none of my business. It is most definitely the reason for me sharing this. And I would personally move through this situation privately. I still understand though. And at the same time, this could even expedite the healing of people going through very similar situations. But regardless of how old the person's child is, wounds that heal to the best of their ability can still be tender. My heart goes out to everyone who felt that ping, especially millennials who felt that ping. And I'm not singling out Generation Z, but I'm 35. I'll be 36 in a couple days. There was a ping that I felt that I know many of us and even older generations have felt because they can understand this thing. My heart goes out to those of you who felt that. Those of you who are actively getting through it right now, my heart goes out to you. That those, you know, troubling family dynamics are no joke. It can feel lonely. And you may have to make you as the child may have to make that tough decision to wield the long sword and swing it. If it's peace you need, swing the sword and sever the tie. Yes, it can make those moments feel lonely. Absolutely. But there is chosen family. You always have the option of having chosen family. However, I would like to say that parents who do the most and lay it on their children to come to them when they're ready, or telling them to pray on it. I'll be waiting, while having records, receipts of showing no effort and quite literally still living with unreconciled pain from their past. Answer the call on your life and get that healing and get it together, because it's annoying to experience someone hurting you and telling you to take yourself to the hospital and catch your Uber back home. It's even more annoying to see this happen again and again and play out through other people's lives, and you have to watch this thing in cycles. It's so annoying. Also, time doesn't necessarily heal all wounds, because time is time. Sometimes effort and sweat equity can expedite the healing of the wound. It's not just time by itself. Stop throwing it on time and leaving it up to the responsibility of time to have everyone's wounds and things to be addressed when you're the one behind the pain. If you make the extra effort in the step, no one's telling you to chase this child, but make the effort. Not in buying a person a thing. No, have the conversations, have the real talks, have the real thing. Because that generation also has another thing. Yeah, I'm calling y'all out. Y'all have another problem with pretending as if the thing never happened. You'll do something crazy and then come back and then start talking as if nothing happened. I have learned over the course of my years, after my relationships, after having a healthy relationship at that, that communication is the key to a happy, successful relationship. And I mean of all types. It starts with communication. It's not glossing over, and it's not pretending. Because, you know, another thing that the older generation will do is they'll profess their newfound life. They'll find God. They'll go to church. They'll find a couple scriptures. And then all of a sudden they're a new person, or they have a new family. They get a new family, whatever they do. And they're making you out to be the one that is bitter and hurt. And while you might still be bitter and hurt about it, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, you know, we only think it's okay to be hurt when we fall and hurt ourselves. That's the only time it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be hurt when we hurt ourselves, when we get a scrape. But when we are hurt from a person, and that person happens to be our parents or a family member, whatever that is, then somehow you still on that? You still on that pain? Oh, well, I found God. You deal with that on your own. I will you peace. I will you. No. How about we have a conversation, and or we have a conversation, and then we take the time and we build towards a relationship. How about you get to know me as your daughter, as your son? I get to know you as my parent. I get to understand who you are and what you've endured. Let's have the real conversations, and let's make sense of these things, and let's bond in a different way versus going to dinner, or you buying something, or did you eat yesterday? You know, those things. Nah, let's have the real thing. But aside from all that, I will be back some other time. Give it a couple months. I'm busy. I just wanted to throw in my commentary on this, and I'm sharing my two cents. So with all that said, peace. Oh, one more thing. I need for you to learn how to apologize. Thank you.